720 WGN, John Landecker welcoming John Densmore, former drummer with The Doors and author of the current book, The Seeker, Meetings with Remarkable Musicians. Good evening, John. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John Landecker. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can. I guess there's a little delay.
Let me interrupt. It's plural. It's the seekers. It's not just me.
Sorry.
It's all of us.
Right, of course.
Seekers.
Got it. My bad.
No worries.
So it includes talking with people. The PR thing says Janis Joplin, Bob Marley, and I just thought I'd throw in there the Dalai Lama, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I sort of think that all musicians, well, everybody's kind of a seeker, just trying to, especially during these tumultuous times, find a calm space. And so I included the Dalai Lama and my mom and a few other people, because everybody's on the road to looking for peace of mind.
Oh, absolutely. And that was the motivating muse, so if you will, for writing this particular book with the interviews with these very prominent and not so prominent, but very creative people?
Well, the idea was a tip of the hat to a lot of these people who fed me musically and inspired me. And then I hope it inspires the reader to also certainly admire all these people. But, you know, if you play your piano in the closet and no one hears it, you're still kind of going in that same space as musicians do. And if you did that 20 minutes a day, it's a good thing. Good antidote. Music is kind of like a medicine for the soul.
Yes. So, that's absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. Tell us the story about your mother.
Well, my mom encouraged piano lessons at 8, and then she tolerated drums in the living room when I was a teenager, so I had to honor her. And then I thought, recently, actually, the second chapter is on Elvin Jones, who's John Coltrane's drummer,
right?
Who was a real mentor for me. And in that, I wrote, well, for us drummers, actually for everyone, the first drum beat you ever heard was in the womb. It was your mom's heartbeat. And so then I thought, well, that's, of course, why my mom is the opening chapter.
What took you from, let's see, the piano to drums? When did you get the drum itch?
That's a good question, because I loved music so much. When I got into junior high, I wanted to play any instrument, and I chose the clarinet.
Yep.
And I had braces. And the dentist said, no, you're not playing clarinet. We're trying to push those teeth back. That'll push them out. So the music teacher at school said, well, we need a drummer.
So
I owe my career to the dentist.
That's right. If you didn't have bad teeth, what would the Doors have done? I mean, it would be somebody else. We wouldn't be sitting here talking. Who knew?
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
Yeah. I mean, I know there are stories where every person who wants to play some kind of music makes a decision as to, you know, what instrument it's going to be. My parents sort of forced the violin on me. And,
oh, boy.
Yeah. And I also was like in junior high school, sixth grade, something like that. And I walked by a room where a high school band orchestra was rehearsing and heard the cornets and the trumpets. And I said, hey, that's where I'm headed. And so I did. But certainly not to any kind of performance level. It's John Densmore on the phone. He is the former drummer with The Doors and the author of The Seekers, meetings with remarkable musicians, and we'll do more seeking and meeting when we come back on 720 WGN.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe.
Ah, what great drumming there, John. I was specifically looking for Doors intros that had a heavy beat, and that's you on drums doing, of course, with the Doors and Touch Me. You know, John Densmore.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, John. And I'm going to have to correct you again. You said former drummer with the Doors. I'm still the drummer, you know, at 50
years
later.
Right, but the Doors aren't around, are they?
Well, they are in everybody's minds.
Oh, well, yes, I know that. But there, and that's where I was going, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
It strikes me that, and I hope you can shed light on this, Doors music, to me, has never sounded dated. No matter how long it was since its release, the production values, the musicianship, the lyrics, somehow suspended in time, if you will. I mean, there's plenty of tunes you can get back from that, you know, back in the day, and bands you can listen to, and, you know, it's fun to hear them, but it doesn't sound current. Yet the Doors music, to me, always does. Do you find that?
It's the drumming, John.
Well, I should have known. I should have known.
No, you know, as each new technology would come along, CDs, streaming, you know, whatever, Bruce Botnick, our longtime engineer, would kind of technically move us up to speed and keep our sound real current, and that was very helpful. And then we had this singer, you know, who I wrote a chapter about him in this new book. You know, he was rather special.
Yes, Jim Morrison, the Shaman, is the title of that chapter. And that was the next thing I was going to bring up, is that Jim Morrison, his attire, his hair, his clothes, his pants, I mean, they look just as rock and roll today as they did then. You know what I mean? You could put him up next to Dave Grohl, and you couldn't pick out who was around now and who was around then. Just something that I've always felt for years that, you know, we don't know what Jim Morrison looked like after, you know, he's not around and has not been around with us for quite a while. But those pictures which capture him in that time, to me, always look contemporary. And that matches my opinion of the music, too, is that it always sounded contemporary and never dated. And I know they have technical improvements and things of that nature, but I mean from the get-go. Like even Riders on the Storm, for instance. I remember strapping on the headphones and listening to that. And, I mean, that was fantastic right off the album. It doesn't need any tweaking, at least as far as I was concerned.
Well, first of all, Jim, I think, probably should have got a royalty for all the people who wore leather pants after him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I asked him, how do you get your hair to go like that? And he said, wash it and don't comb it. Oh, okay. yeah, Riders on the Storm is just, it was magical recording that. It was fun. We had rain and we had thunder, and we got to drop thunderclaps where we wanted, kind of like playing God. A lot of fun.
But that doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
And then you've got the drum in there, you know, laid back with that beat. It's just really sweet. I just really thought it sounded fantastic. That still do.
John, let me say something about that doodle 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 doodle. That's Ray Manzarek, the late great keyboard player.
Yep.
And I also have a chapter on him in this book. And this guy somehow split his brain into two musicians. He played bass with his left hand and doodle 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 on the organ with his right. And wow, what a gifted guy, you know? Like, you think of the intro to Light My Fire. I mean, you know, it's all etched on our brain. So I really feel good about tipping my hat to all these people who've helped me. And,
well, I think that goes to show you exactly why, at least partially, the Doors were so successful, was that all of you were amazing musicians, not just in the beat of basic rock and roll, but you could expand and add jazz licks and, you know, all sorts of intricate musicianship. And that went for everybody. At least I thought so. And certainly Ray was awesome.
I think we were kind of like a melting pot. Ray had this blues from Chicago, you know, DePaul University.
Right.
And Robbie had this flamenco stuff, and I had jazz, and Jim had all these words. So we're kind of like a American gumbo, and people can't seem to get enough of it.
That's right. Was the process that Morrison would bring lyrics and then, well, there were more than just lyrics, but his poems, and then you guys would figure out collectively how it was going to be arranged musically?
Almost. He would bring lyrics and he would sing them.
Mm.
But he didn't know how to play one chord on any instrument.
Really?
So, yeah. So he'd start and then we'd go, wait, well, hold it. F sharp. Okay, go a little more. Okay. So that, and then we put it all together. So he was really gifted to,
yes.
He said to remember the words he thought of melodies. And that's great stuff. And
so he would come with words and a melody already.
Yeah, and then we'd have to turn it into a song, you know.
Right.
And Robbie Krieger wrote "Light My Fire" and a couple others. "Touch Me," I think, which you just played. They were more complete, but most of the songs were written by Jim, just lyrics and mm-hmm. melodies.
You know, there are, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but hey, I'm going to bring it up for a million and one, some iconic Doors legends. For instance, the Ed Sullivan Show, where what was the rule? What did he want you guys to do? He wanted to change a lyric of some kind, right?
Yeah. He wanted to take out the word higher.
Right.
Girl, you couldn't get much higher.
Higher. Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, people were smoking pot back then and they were trying to stop it. And we said, okay.
Yeah.
Jim went and just blasted the word. And after the show, Ed Sullivan said, "You boys will never play this show again." And Jim said, "Well, we just did, so we're done. Fine." You
know? I think you had a great career without going back to the Ed Sullivan Show. I think things worked out pretty well. And then there's, you know, the infamous, I guess it was in Miami or somewhere in Florida, where Jim allegedly disrobed to a certain extent.
Yeah, alleged. It's ironic. He was really drunk, unfortunately.
And,
it was not a good performance, but he did not disrobe.
Right.
I don't know how that got going.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly, at the time, it was the Vietnam War, and there were a lot of people for and against, and I think the sort of establishment kind of wanted to target us as these damn hippies.
And, oh, sure. Yeah, there were, you weren't the only hippie, damn hippie, crazy commie band. I mean, you had the Airplane and, you know, a whole group of radicals. Oh, my God. How dare they sing Light My Fire and Get Higher and just, I mean, if you look at it today, it's amazing how different it is. I mean, Ed Sullivan didn't want you to say higher because people were smoking pot. Well, guess what? Now it's legal. So, you know, times change, ironically.
And also, John, I would say that the seeds of civil rights and the peace movement and feminism were all kind of planted in the 60s.
I agree.
And I don't like the thought that the remark that the 60s failed. No, they're big seeds. They're really big, important seeds. And they take maybe 50 or 100 years to come for full fruition. So get out your watering can.
Boy, the metaphors are flying here.
I'm a writer now.
Yeah, I was going to say, obviously. Pardon my ignorance, but did you write any of the Doors music?
I didn't write any of the lyrics, but I wrote a lot of the music. We all put it together.
Yeah. Right. Where did you guys first meet?
Well, that's interesting. We were experimenting with then legal LSD, and we sort of thought, yeah, this is a way back. I'm old, John.
Wow. Timothy Leary.
Yeah, but it was legal. And then we thought, it's too shattering on our nervous system. Let's go to meditation. Hmm. Robbie and I went to meditation, and that's where I met Ray. And Jim came along. And so Maharishi was the Doors' PR agent, I guess. You know?
I bet that's the first time the Maharishi was ever described as a PR agent. And I think it's great, by the way. There's great interviews with a potpourri, if you will, of recording artists, musicians, Lou Reed, Janis Joplin, Willie Nelson. As I mentioned earlier, the Dalai Lama, your mother, your junior high school music teacher. I mean, it's just... it's fascinating to see how you apply your attitude of creativity and what it will bring to someone to the entire sort of timeline of your life, really, from the get-go.
Yeah, and like I said, the Doors are sort of a melting pot. I got fed by a eclectic taste, classical music.
Right.
All kinds, and so it affected my drumming, and so I put it all in there.
How long? What's the time span of all these interviews? When did you speak to? Is this obviously over the years that you recorded these interviews?
Well, John, actually, I didn't record interviews. I decided to write about these people who affected me, and. I just maybe was with Bob Marley for a few minutes, but I was with Ravi Shankar for many months studying tabla drums. And so, it's some people long time, some short, but they all affected me. And so I wanted to tip my hat.
I'm sorry, I should have used the word meetings with remarkable musicians as opposed to interviews. See, I'm getting it. I'll get there sooner or later. We're talking to John. We're about ready to wrap it up, too, John. It's been a real pleasure. John Densmore, who was the drummer for the Doors, where is the book? How do we get it? And all of that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know, John. I'm just the artist. I hope you get it in bookstores in Chicago, if any of them are open. Amazon, the usual... outlets.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to ask the question. I think, if we got off and I hadn't asked it, do you have PR people? You have PR people, don't you?
Oh, I appreciate you asking it, John. And you got a good sense of humor.
Thanks. So do you, as a matter of fact. John Densmore.
Well, at my age, you got to... Humor becomes rather important when you get older.
You better believe it. I'm with you on that one. Thanks for being with us, John, and long may you play. Thanks.
A real pleasure, John.